that, beyond the $1,000 prize for the first couple to get pregnant, we then hope to follow through over the next 9 months with all of the 20 couples in the contest.
You will henceforth be referred to as our baby couple, and you can call at any time with your updates, and we can find out how your progress is going.
We're actually planning on having like a get-together after 3 months, after 6 months, and then right before the babies are born at 9 months, as we start to repopulate the world in our own perfect vision.
And then what the neatest thing of all about this is going to be at the conclusion of this contest, we're going to be getting phone calls, hopefully, from expecting parents in the delivery room saying, hey, you know, my baby was right. Born, everything was fine, that's great.
So we hope that the couples that enter this contest are ready, and this is why we're going to call each of the couples individually on the radio to make sure that they're ready to make the commitment with us for 9 months of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Are you prepared to do your duty?
Beware!
Beware!
Don't make kick ass! Beware!
I tell you, I'll use my poopies. I use my poopies in a Disney film and they got diarrhea.
You know, that would be another one of the guys that we should follow up on again. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten back to the guy who was going to sue Disney because they gave his Dalmatians diarrhea.
Yeah, it's in cut right now, I'll tell you that, but my poop's got diarrhea.
Okay, here we go. Got some faxes. Now, right. What we asked of the prospective couples was, dated today, the 1st of August, a letter from a doctor saying that the couple is currently not pregnant.
All right.
Now, as soon as I read your fax and we call you, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and do it now, let's say you're couple number one right here from Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
I read your facts. We call you. You go out and do it. You go to the doctor tomorrow. You're pregnant. You win.
You win. It's that simple.
You win. Mm-hmm. Even though we understand, and we learned this yesterday, which is why the show is educational and informative and entertaining.
Quite a bit of medical training on the show yesterday.
All three things. We found out yesterday that you could have been pregnant like 2 weeks ago and just not find out about it until tomorrow, even though you may have had a test today that said you're not pregnant.
Those are the people that are a leg up,
to speak. Or in that case, maybe two legs up.
Whatever works.
Two legs right up in the air.
Sure.
So, having said all of that, I think we did a pretty good job of explaining in a condensed version of the contest.
Wonderful.
Here is the very first entry that we received this morning at 9:11.
Wow.
From Tampa, Florida. Dear Don and Mike, here's an entry for the baby game. I can be reached at the above number until 5 o'clock, and then a home number. Attached is the form used by the Hillsborough County Health Department, Kelton Clinic. I saw, and then she gives the name of the nurse. She can be reached. She gave us the nurse's phone number. They don't have any MDs in the office at this time. Please call me if this is not acceptable, and I will try to locate an MD. So what we have here is a letter from a nurse from a CPN. And it says the name of the gal and her address, last menstrual period, 7/24/96. Was it normal? Yes. Are you trying to get pregnant? Yes. Then it has the name of a pregnancy test and the result? Negative.
Negative dated?
Dated today.
Today? All right.
8/1/96 with the signature of the nurse and the name of the clinic in Tampa, Florida, where this was done.
Not bad.
All right, let's call our prospective first happy couple.
And I think we have to reiterate that although these documents look A-OK to us, we do, to a certain extent, rely on the honor system for this contest. And we certainly hope that everybody participating is doing things, doing the right thing.
Well, I wish I could read what her
name
is.
Good afternoon, C.F. Davis.
Yes, hello. I'm looking for Sharla.
This is she.
Sharla, hi. This is Don and Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're just fine. So you feeling anything?
No.
No, you haven't. You shouldn't.
Nervous. Like,
you shouldn't have done it yet.
Right.
Because you're not allowed. The other rule was that you weren't allowed to actually do it until we called you and registered you in the contest.
I know. My husband is really unhappy about that last night.
He was?
Yeah.
And then now, from this point on, now that we have given you our blessing, you're going to do it like dogs?
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Sharla, a couple things we need to ask you.
Okay.
What's your husband's first name?
Robert.
Okay, so it's Sharla and Robert, our first couple.
First couple, and the couple that has, as I said, two legs up on the rest of the competition.
Now, you realize that if you guys aren't the first to win, if you're not the first, you're still going to get a prize, even because just for being one of the 20 couples.
Right.
But what we ask in return is over the next 9 months, a glimpse into every area of the baby's life.
Right.
Meaning that, you know, We want to call you and say, how's the baby doing?
What are you eating at night? You know, I mean, are you going nuts?
You know, are you throwing up? Is the baby kicking?
Right.
Have you been to the doctor? When's your due date? All that stuff.
This is all stuff we want to know because we care because, well, in a roundabout way, that baby will be our property when it's born.
Right. I mean, you know, all right, the baby will live with you and you'll raise the baby as if it was your own.
That's right.
But we all know that when the child turns 18.
That's when he joins a big gum gym at our little camp out in the woods.
The Don and Mike Wilderness Camp with the Don and Mike Rescue Rangers.
That's right. And Big Gum Jim in his Boy Scout uniform with his knee socks and his shorts with the pocket knife hanging off him.
And we teach the boys all the things they need to know to be just like us.
Right.
You know, proper remote control working.
That's right. Cynicism in America.
Yes, how to make fun of everything, even those things that are closest and dearest to you. Taking the Lord's name in vain, we'll be offering extensive training on that.
Preparing your food as quickly as possible for maximum enjoyment.
Hygiene on the run. That the art of taking an Elvis bath.
Right. Lying to authority figures, which is one of our major components.
Yeah, so
you're going to save that till after they're 18, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Okay.
You get them, and see, it's almost a challenge. You pump as much goodness as you can into those kids.
That's right.
And then when they're 18,
we break them down.
As long as you don't teach them to lie until after.
Oh, after 18.
I'm done with them.
Yeah, after 18. So you know that's and really, I hope we don't have too many dropouts, but we'll teach them to lie.
Now, how long have you and your husband been married?
Almost 3 months.
Almost 3 months.
Newlyweds!
And been trying to have a kid for long, a child?
I just went off the pill a little over a month ago.
Fantastic.
Wow, and you're excited about the prospects of having a little baby.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. We both heartily endorse it, even though we don't totally understand the birthing process.
That's right. As you can tell by yesterday's show, we really don't know much about it, but hey, we're going to make it our own.
Dogs love cheese, though.
That's right.
We know that. I don't know why I said that, but dogs do love cheese.
Cheese is good food.
Beer is food.
Food is good.
Let's eat. Listen, you're in. You're in.
Okay, great.
You and your husband are in. You're couple number one in the hump for cash. Now, if we don't call you by the time, I don't know, what do you say, by next week, by the time, how many do we have now, Rob? How many entries? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have
five.
Five entries right now. I bet we get all 20 couples by this time tomorrow.
I think so.
Let me see. If you don't hear from us by the middle of next week, give us a call.
Okay.
And, of course, if anything happens, call us immediately.
Yeah, because, you know, it'd be terrible if you found out you were pregnant and then waited a couple hours to make the call. You let us know as soon as you find out you're pregnant.
All right.
All right. Welcome to the club. All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A willing and enthusiastic participant.
All right, there she is. There's number one. Do I have time for number two? There's always time for number two. We'll break. We'll come back and get to couple number two in a moment. Right back after this.
M-I-W-J-F-K. Sure, it's sick, but these days, what isn't? The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, one of these days I may live to regret these words, but I would just like to point out that another day has passed, and that Piggly Wiggly guy, he's still not been arrested.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who looks like a pig.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for what you're saying, and I think it's legitimate. And
Richard Jewell, I had the thought yesterday. Actually, I had the thought on Monday night when I went home.
Yeah, what the hell is going on here?
That this guy every day is the lead story of every newscast. Richard Jewell, if the guy is guilty, let's go in there, let's get him, let's string him up, let's have some fun with it. But if not...
And if not...
Let the guy go.
What he's been through, and you know something, I don't think legally he would have a leg to stand on because they're just conducting an investigation. This is a result...
No, he's screwed.
...of the media just going absolutely mental with the national significance of this case.
He's so screwed, especially with the stuff about him wanting to be a hero.
Oh, yeah.
That people are so mad about that.
Right.
That he... kind of came out and said that, yeah, he likes being a hero, digs being a hero,
sure.
Hopes he can get a better job because he's a hero. Those words are the words that really have condemned him with the media, with the American public. Nuznernik, is there anything new about that?
Last night, an hour and a half after we ended the show, one of the investigators was saying that they were less suspicious of Richard Jewell than they had been. Now, later, Another investigator backed off that and said, no, we're not any less suspicious.
They ought to shut up.
But there was a moment at which, you know, that happened. And the media's just been reporting what the FBI's been telling them about the investigation.
You know, really, that I think, and that's what I was saying yesterday. You know, it's the media's job to cover this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, those people that are associated with the investigation ought to just button it unless they have something concrete. I feel the same way about the TWA crash. If they know something, come out and say something. It's just too much. It's so frustrating with that TWA crash to hear every single day the exact same stuff.
Did you see they had a picture on the TV last night that shows they've only got like 5% of the plane. They just have bits and pieces of the plane. But even with the plane, I mean, they, you know, it's not like they've come out with a plane and said, Richard Jewell from Atlanta, Georgia, is the man that planted the bomb with the plane. We're still up in the air even about if it was a bomb or not.
Yeah.
This guy, Jewell, I said it yesterday, I'll say it today. If he's guilty, I say string him up, castrate him on national television, and feed him what you cut off.
Yeah.
That's how it. You put him in his mouth. That I saw that in a war movie one time.
Right.
That's a fat. What movie was that, Mike?
I'm not sure, but it was a good one, Don. I know the movie you're talking about,
where
too.
Where they
it
go by and they got
the Vietnam movie.
They
I
cut
believe.
A guy's thing off and they put it in his mouth.
Might have been in Platoon. I think it might have been in Platoon. I'm
actually
not sure.
An idea that could have been stolen from us. Isn't that a fantasy we had about our old general manager?
Yes, Alan Goodman. We were going to do that during one of the darker days we had with Alan. We were actually going to do that to him, but we never got around to it.
We had this fantastic fantasy.
Yes.
That Alan Goodman, who was our general manager two or three general managers ago,
was seriously angering us at one point.
And we started talking about it in a kidding fashion, and at some point it got kind of real.
Yeah, so I was real in our own minds.
That's what I mean.
We'd never do it, of course, but we certainly talked about it like we'd do it.
Talked about going to his house.
Right.
Knocking him out.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting off his appendage.
Right.
Putting it in his mouth.
Right.
And propping him up.
Just like the movies.
And propping him up for when people came up the front walk. Right. Remember that? And we said you and I would be hiding in the bushes behind.
That is a little peek into our sick fantasy world right there.
Hello. My name is Alan Goodman.
And you know, the thing is, the last time we saw Alan, we had a few cocktails with him, and we told him about it, too, about what our fantasy was. He was like,
he laughed.
He laughed out loud. He said, because he knows how sick we are.
That's a great idea.
All right, do you have you guys on nuts? Yeah, well, we used to talk about it all the time, Al.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the movie Blitz, like I say, about Richard Jewell, if he's guilty, do that to him. Then I am all for whatever happens to him, and it's his own fault. But if he's guilty.
Right.
You know, the poor fat slug.
Maybe he's not guilty.
Yeah, if he's not guilty, you know, the poor, you know, and I feel bad for him. Just a big, fat guy
so ready to hate in this country. We are so ready, seriously, right now. And I feel the same way as every other American. I am so ready to get somebody to at least say, you know, you're the guy. Somebody to vent a little of this on.
And if he's the guy, I'm really ready to hate him.
Yeah.
Because I'm so into the, you know, everybody wants to be in the military. Everybody wants to have a gun. Everybody wants to take law into their own hands. I'm so against that. I'm really ready. This guy has all of the ingredients for a good old-fashioned public hanging.
Absolutely.
He has everything going for him in that regard, except they haven't nailed him yet.
I think if he is guilty and they do charge him and he is convicted of this, I think we're going to have to take a long, hard look at the way we look at everything in this country.
Here's the latest from FBI Director Louis Free. He says, just because someone's name surfaces does not mean he's guilty. So make of that what you will.
Listen, it's a little too early for me to be crying about this and saying, I told you guys so, but listen, I told you. I saw the guy on TV. He just looks like one of these rent-a-cop guys that probably watches McCloud and watches Rock Hudson show. What was that? McMillan and Wife. Watches The Rookies and all those old cop shows and just is like a do-gooder type.
What freaks me with this investigation, as each day goes by, it would indicate to me that if they're spending all this time on this guy and he's not charged, you know, there's somebody out there that did this that's probably getting further and further away.
Well, here's the thing. And again, who knows? We only know what we've heard on TV and what we've read. But I read somewhere that the FBI is under incredible pressure to wind this case up by Sunday when the Olympics stop because the messages that we'll send to the rest of the world, yes, there was a bombing, but look at this. We found the guy, we got him, we nailed him, and it took us only a week to get him.
Now, the good thing about the Olympics, I think anybody that's watched the Olympics this week, is one of the things everybody said. I heard the president say this, I heard the person from the Olympic Committee say this, that the Olympics go on, and you have to forget it, and nobody's done a better job at that than I think the athletes and everybody rooting for the Olympics, because I've forgotten it watching some of the stuff that's going on this week. I think it's terrific.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you guys know that these are sick, sick times that we live in.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you had your Hump for Cash contestants sign something so that they...
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I got a bad vibe about this.
Hold on. All right. I do too, but we're trying to get some ratings.
Okay.
So what is it? Maybe I'll live to regret this decision too.
Did you have them sign something to prevent them from having an abortion and actually raising a child?
Lovely.
Sick. You're right, Sick. I understand the question.
It's a good...
The question would be, do we think that our listeners are so sick that they would enter a contest to be the first to get pregnant, and then after getting pregnant, abort the baby? I don't think so.
Or cast it off for adoption, even.
I don't... You listen, you know, you get into that whole thing. I'm adopted. I don't think there's anything wrong with adoption.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it either, but it's something to...
But why be such a...
Let that linger in your mind, sir. I don't think... You know, I'm not going to worry about somebody doing that,
okay? Listen, and besides, if that happens, what do you care? You're a guy listening to a radio show. What do you care?
I'm just questioning the rules is all.
Why are you questioning the rules?
Because it sounds like an interesting contest, and I'm looking forward to following it. I just want.
I think you're sick.
Oh, thanks.
I do. I think you're. I think you're really sick.
You can't say that to somebody who listens to this show. They wear that like a badge of courage.
No, I mean that really is. Okay, you two go out and enjoy yourselves.
All right. Now listen, don't put me in this guy's
camp. Well, okay. I just think it's sick. I think that's sick. And you know, if there's somebody, anybody that idea just
not that I would do it. It's just.
Oh, I don't know about you.
It crossed my mind.
I don't know about
that's
you.
It's too
sir.
Bad you weren't aborted. There, does that make you happy, Mike?
And he laughs. There he laughs.
I wear their scorn as a badge of honor.
All right. The problems with this call are multifold.
Yeah, they're multifold. The problems with this call's organization.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi. I don't think any of our listeners would do that. I really don't.
It's beyond sick. And if they would do that, you know, we wouldn't have any control over that.
They all seem like very nice people. At least the entries that I've read. Hi, Donna Mike Show.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you taking contestants for your little baby game who are currently on their cycle?
Having your period?
Mm-hmm. We made it real clear yesterday that what we're going to do is if you can get a verification that you are not pregnant starting today or any time thereafter.
Sure, yeah. So if you are currently in that way, go to the doctor, get a note from the doctor saying you're not pregnant, and you're in.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep, just checking.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This contest is heating up, and I think you're right. We're going to have our 20 contestants tomorrow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. We got another fax right here. All right, hold on. Here's another one. Hi, guys. Dear Don and Mike. Oh, here it is. We are so excited about your contest. We've been married for 4 years. This is our first wedding. And 2.5 years is our... Wait a minute. Dear Don and Mike.
That handwriting is all over the place there.
Dear Don and Mike. Hi, guys. We are so excited about this contest. We've been married for 4 years in our first wedding and 2.5 years in our second wedding. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
And we've been trying to have a baby for 6 months. This could be a miracle. My husband had a reversal vasectomy last year. He was very brave, and his sperm count is increasing every day. Thanks be to God.
All right, good. Good for him.
My name is Sarah, and my husband's name is Fred. Our home phone number, my husband's work phone number. We're looking forward to the contest. Thank you, Sarah and Fred. And here is a note from the doctor dated 8/1/96. Urine pregnancy test is negative.
Okay.
All right, let's call.
There you go.
I'd like to try to decipher what she was trying to say to us there.
All I heard in there was a reversed vasectomy, and I understand that's a little tough procedure there.
I can do it. I need a can opener. not the electric type, you know.
The can opener and Playtex living gloves.
That's it. I was confused about being married for 4 years in our first wedding and 2.5 years in our second
Maybe
wedding.
Maybe they got divorced and got married again.
Hello?
Please listen to
my confession. What? Papa. Hello? Well, all right. Let me try the other number. Wait a minute.
Maybe, I don't know. There's so much going on with that letter. They got married, and then he got a vasectomy after they got divorced, and maybe now they got married again, and he reversed the vasectomy. I don't know.
Good afternoon. This is Fred.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. Oh, Fred.
Oh, my God.
Fred, hi. You're Sarah's husband, right?
Yes.
All right. Here is Fred, everybody. Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Fred, you're on the air, Fred.
Oh, great. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing great. Fred, you you want to be in the running to the Hump for Cash?
Yes, definitely. By the way, we were not divorced. We just got married by the Justice of the Bees.
Justice of the Bees? You got married by the Justice of the Bees?
That's that justice who wears that big beekeeper hat.
Very nervous.
Explain to me the first part. We've been married for 4 years in our first wedding and 2.5 years in our second.
What happened was we got married by the court first, and then we did our Catholic ceremony. Ah.
So you've really been married 6.5 years.
Exactly.
All together? Okay, I got you.
And during the course of the marriage, you got a vasectomy and then decided to have it reversed?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Mm.
Ow. How was that procedure getting it reversed? Was it painful?
Very painful.
No, wow. Yeah, it hurt.
All right. Well, now you're back. You're back. You're right up there. You're way up there, and ready to have a baby. Now, your wife Sarah, is she ready for all of the scrutiny that you two will be in for over the next 9 months with us?
Definitely.
Does Sarah make a lot of the major decisions in the household?
50-50.
50-50? 50-50. I always like to ask that about those vasectomy guys.
Not that there's anything wrong with a vasectomy.
Not that there's anything wrong at all.
Pussy whipped!
That's what I've always...
Pussy whipped!
I've always...
Pussy whipped!
My own mind.
I never give up that right. That's a right that God gave us as men.
Amen. We agree.
The
on
right
that.
To procreate.
You're right,
the right
brother.
To plant our fertile seed.
You're here.
Don't you give that up, my friend.
That's right. I put that in the same category, taking your dog down, getting him neutered.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Listen, you're in. Fred, you're in.
Great. Radio God.
My good man. Fred and Sarah, you are in. You are now officially entered. Go home, procreate, and let us know when you get there.
Definitely will.
All right. And like I told the last lady from Tampa, if you don't hear from us, call us next week. Or, you know, never mind that. We'll call you.
Sure.
Okay. We'll get a hold of you. You're in. Sarah and Fred, couple number two, and they are from Virginia.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye now, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Fred.
Couple number two. Now we have 3, 4, 5, and 6. And our fax lines are working overtime at 1-800-636-6410. If you want to join the fun, we'll be right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
The Don and Mike Show.
Primrose?
Yeah, Dottie Walters.
It's Dottie. Mike, it's Dottie Walters.
Dottie Walters.
It is Dottie Walters with funny stories for all to enjoy. Dottie has written a book called "The Never Underestimate the Selling Power of a Woman."
Cool.
Now, here's the reason that we booked you on the show. Just this week, actually last weekend, I got involved in those Anthony Robbins tapes.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had always made fun of this guy on our show as being a big-mouthed, horse-toothed entrepreneur who's just out to get other people's money. But the thing I found once I ordered the tapes was I am really, really super into the tapes.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, no, he's
absolutely.
He's very good, and I was told that you taught him everything that he knows.
Well, not quite. He lived here in Glendora, where I lived, and he used to be a busboy in the restaurant mm-hmm. and waited on me. And you know what his motto was? Always give them water before they ever even ask for it. Mm-hmm. But he went to work for Jim Rohn, another
That's
great...
genius.
What?
That is a genius concept. Give them the water. Bring the water to the table before they ask for it.
Oh, yeah. And if you apply that to any business you're in, think of what the customer wants and give it to him.
That's why he's my Messiah, Mike. I want to write that down, Dottie.
Okay.
Bring him the water before they even order anything.
I bet he wasn't a busboy for long.
No, he wasn't. He went to work for another speaker, Jim Rohn, who is magnificent, and he sold tickets to Jim Rohn's programs.
Right.
And right about that time, he left home with a quarrel, I guess, with his mother, and he did own an old bag.
Tony Robbins lived with his mother?
Yeah, with an
Until
old
when?
Old
Until when?
Bacon. Now, this man...
How old was Tony when he moved out of his mom's house?
About high school.
High school.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Like about 18, 19?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now,
all right.
He's a very big man. He's one of the biggest men I've ever seen. He must be at least 6'7".
Well, you know, he had a growth spurt when he was in school. He had some kind of a tumor, which made his head and his mouth big. Did you know that?
Kind of a thyroid thing.
Yeah. His whole body is a very, very big man. But at any rate, he was selling tickets for this other speaker and learning the business, and he slept.
He's big all over.
Now, if you can imagine, with his hands and feet coming out the windows, I guess.
Yeah.
But here's a kid that didn't stop. He went on selling tickets for other speakers and finally thought, you know, I could put on a better program than some of these people. So he started doing them for himself. And his big break came when he did the fire walk. Now, when he speaks, he often hits his chest. You didn't see him in person, huh?
No, I haven't seen him in person.
Okay. He hits his chest?
Yes. And
is that for emphasis, Donnie?
I'm sorry?
Is that for emphasis or...
Where's the freedom mic, you know, hands-free mic?
Right.
And the first time he did it, it sounds like a gun going off. Goes,
Charlie does that all the time, too.
Yeah.
Charlie Stuhlang Stavola.
He wears a freedom mic.
Uh-huh.
And no, he doesn't. He just hits himself on the chest all the time. Right.
He wears a freedom brief.
Yeah. When I asked Tony Robbins how he happened to do that, was it on purpose? He said it was accidental the first time. And when he saw...
Hey, Dottie, can you hold on just a second? Hold on. Anybody like me just hearing the listeners falling off in droves at this point?
Big time.
I mean, it's one thing for me to talk about Tony Robbins and how into him I am.
Right.
But does
You do it with your homespun charm.
Okay. Well, then I got to let her down easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Let her down real easy.
Get to the part about how we can make 800 grand being public speakers.
Hey, Dottie, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
How can we make 800 grand a year being public speakers?
You can do it by talking about what you know best. Could I use you as an example?
All right, here's what I know best, television. I love television. I watch it. I know everything that's on every channel.
She might very well be referring to the career choice that you've chosen.
Yeah, you certainly could do programs.
Well, television is my career.
My speakers bureau books a lot of television personalities from the Southern California area where we are.
Uh-huh.
And they start in at about $5,000 for a banquet.
Hey, what you wearing right now, Dottie?
A suit? Why?
Business suit?
Yeah.
What are you enjoying some sort of... Are you getting motivated?
No, I'm trying to move the conversation on. I'm doing our standard line of questioning.
Yes, we ask everyone that's on the show.
What they're wearing, who's the celebrity they most resemble.
But you asked how much money speakers can make. Most of those that we book earn from 100,000 to 800,000 a year.
See, I am also...
How long do you have to talk for to earn that kind of money?
Well, you don't do it the first year, of course.
You're
moving up, and you write books, and you create audios the way Tony Robbins has done.
You see, Dottie, I have ADD also. I have an attention disorder deficit.
Attention deficit disorder.
You know what I meant. Meaning that, like, when you were going into the answer there about how the people make the money, I'm already thinking a step ahead, thinking, boy, no offense to that. I was thinking, boy, I was bored with this. I better ask her something so the audience doesn't tune out. So that's why I asked what you were wearing.
I see. Well, many speakers who are experts at something in their life, as you are, you know, you could have seminars on how to appear on the TV, how to respond if your company is interviewed or you're...
I just watch TV. I'm not on TV. I watch it a lot. I watch all the channels. I'm like Rain Man. I know all the channels.
Yeah, well, how to appear on radio, how to work with the media. You see what I'm saying? You could do seminars for executives on that subject. I know a lady in Florida that does that. It has a regular show, and she makes about $10,000 a Saturday doing it.
Wow.
$10,000 a Saturday. One day, $10,000.
Cool.
But here's a question. Why would people come to pay to see us when they can turn on the radio and hear us every day for free?
Because you wouldn't be teaching them how to react to the media. A question that comes from left field.
Like how to handle themselves in this type of forum.
Exactly.
I could speak to that for a half an hour and give anybody that was going to be a guest on a program like this all the tips on how to survive it.
All right, Mike, yes. What were the tips that you would give Dottie to survive an interview on this program?
Right now, she's already doing what you have to do, and that is she doesn't get hung up with some of our naughty questions, and she moves right by them in many cases, and she doesn't get fazed by them. Billy Barty did the same thing yesterday. When we asked him if he'd had sex with any starlets, he answered the question. He said, no, my wife's a Mormon, and he moved on. Like, completely unfazed, but you answer the questions honestly. You don't dwell on them. Uh-huh. And the worst thing you can possibly do when you're a guest on this program is to overreact to something like that and hang up the phone or do it, because that's when you come off
totally bad. I'm on a big speakers bureau. And
are you wearing panties?
Beg pardon?
Are you wearing panties?
I run a big speakers bureau, and we send speakers worldwide.
See, now, is she taking your advice there?
Yeah, she moved right by it. She didn't feel like answering the question, so she moved right by it.
$2,000 for 1 hour, right on up to President Bush, who's the highest paid speaker in the country at this moment.
You book President Bush?
We had a call for him recently, but he wasn't available. He's booked.
How much for Bush?
$125,000 for 1 hour.
That's expensive, Bush.
That seriously is.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's like the most expensive Bush I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's the celebrity class. Then we come down into the experts, and that's my bureau works with experts. We also have a section, you'd be interested in this, of 200 speakers in our bureau. We call it the Dead Speakers Society.
Speakers?
Yeah. They are people who work in costume as characters from history and fiction.
I'd like John Candy, please.
I don't have him, but I've got Sherlock Holmes, Albert Einstein.
Can I put a dibs in for Bob Hope already?
Well, why not?
Okay.
Sure.
I want
somebody
to show
will
you.
Be doing him, and yeah. We've got all kinds of, and you see, if you've got a theme of maybe science, why would Einstein, it'd be perfect for your program.
All right. Now, I've opened your book up here, and I'm going to just read a page from your book.
All right.
Okay.
We like to do this, if it's okay with you, Dottie. We like to read pages from the books of authors we have on the program.
You want to just pick a page at random, Dottie, and I'll go to that page?
We did this with Ed Koch. We did this recently with the broadcaster from South America that says, goal.
How about Chapter 5, How to Capture a Selling Job?
Well, here's an idea. If you would just pick up the Sunday paper and look in the classified, if you want to have a selling job, that is speaking to sales companies.
Well, let me just read a page of this. I don't think I'm giving anything away if I just read a page, okay? How to capture a selling job.
All right.
Make the most of yourself, for that is all there is to you. Ralph Waldo Emerson. She started taking her clothes off so very slowly.
No, you've got the wrong book.
And she kept incredible eye
the
husband.
Wrong book.
Her fishnet hose.
You've got the book in the left-hand drawer.
After she had stripped, she got up,
That's
went over
wrong.
To Marty,
That's
and slowly
wrong.
Rubbed her body
That's
down
wrong.
His.
That's not her
breathing
book.
Heavily on his neck.
That is wrong.
And ears and driving him crazy.
That is not Dottie's book.
She lay on her back and teased
That's
him.
Look at that. You got the wrong page there.
Mabel got up and got baby oil.
That's wrong. That's wrong. That is wrong.
She laid the sheet on the floor.
You read the wrong page. That's wrong. That's not in your book, is it, Dottie?
No, it isn't. There are speakers that talk on that kind of subject.
Oh,
there are.
Really?
Now, for the first time.
We run a big speakers bureau, but they're all real.
You have got my total attention, Dottie.
Could you perhaps speak to that subject for a moment and tell us what kind of speakers you have that would address sex?
We don't keep their names or their topics because that isn't our focus. We focus on the world of business.
Oh, business.
Yeah, but I get nutty calls every once in a while.
All right, now listen, Dottie's...
And you're realizing this is a nutty call right now, aren't you?
Sure.
You know what, I bet... No, listen, even though we're nuts, we have a very intelligent audience. I bet that they... But don't listen to our callers to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that you sell some books here. Now, your book is called Never Underestimate the Selling Power of a Woman.
Yeah, and then our other book, is just a newer one, is Speak and Grow Rich, Prentice Hall, Simon Schuster.
Mm-hmm. Now, this guy, Anthony Robbins, so you worked with him, you know him.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you think I'm making a mistake here by, I have gone 100% headfirst into this. I buy into it times 1,000.
Well, I'm not surprised, because he has influenced many people and is a great man.
But has he influenced anybody like me who's a real lowlife, though? So here's the thing. All the people that I see on the...
Dottie just said you're not a lowlife, yeah. Don.
Well, you haven't listened to the show much, Dottie. I'm the lowest of low.
I think she's listened to enough of the show to formulate an opinion.
What would your opinion be of us, Dottie?
Well, I think you're a lot of fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and you might, you know, one of your routines might be to be paid for outside the radio station would be comedy.
So you like to party, baby?
Well, we book comedians all the time. In fact, I published...
She's impossible to break, isn't she?
She's fantastic, and you're using a strategy right there, aren't you?
Yes. I publish the only directory of every speaker's bureau on this earth in 15 countries, and 6 of them book only humorists.
Only really? Humorists?
Yeah, humorists. So if you're a humorist, why, you might want to be listed with them.
I would say that the celebrity that she most resembles, Arlene Francis...
Oh, really?
Look at the picture.
A younger Arlene Francis.
Yeah, you remember from, what was that, To Tell the Truth?
Right.
Is that what that,
right.
Yeah,
that
I was on To Tell the Truth years ago.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Do you make an incredible amount? How much money do you make a year?
Come on.
How much do you make?
Not as much as you.
That's right. That we just answered you honestly. Not as much as you. Please tell us. Please, 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 please.
Can you imagine speaking all over the world, all your transportation paid, and making a lot of money, too?
No, I cannot.
No, nobody would ever treat us with that.
Professional speakers do.
I cannot picture that.
What you have to do that...
Let me turn that around. Can you picture driving 28 miles to work every day to come to the same crappy gulag with equipment that's from you know, when Marconi was around, to work for a man chronically depressed, huge bags under his eyes, bad coffee breath, big skin tags. Can you imagine that?
That is our life, Dottie.
No, I can imagine people like Earl Nightingale, who started out as a kid sweeping the floor in a radio station because he wanted to get on the air and what you do so much.
Earl Nightingale, and what happened to him?
Is he like an owner now, owns a million stations?
Nightingale Conant. Haven't you ever heard of Nightingale Conant Company?
Have we heard of what, Dottie?
The biggest producers of audio albums in the world in Chicago.
Really?
Nightingale Conant.
Never heard of him.
Wow. And he makes a lot of money.
He died a year or so ago, but he was one of the greatest of the great.
He's the greatest of the great.
He started out in radio.
Do you think,
and look at Paul Harvey today, for instance.
Dottie, you, listening to us, do you think that we have the potential to be the greatest of the great?
Possibly. You know, your type of humor doesn't appeal to every audience.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly couldn't book it into the award ceremony for a great big company. But there are some audiences that would like it very much.
Like what, like prisons?
Yeah. You think we could we make some money speaking to correction facilities?
There's no money there in that market.
There's no money in that market?
There's no money there.
Okay, you say not big companies. Where, if you were going to book us, say, to speak for someone, where could we start?
That's an excellent question. Maybe, where would you book us?
Where'd you book us?
Truck drivers group?
All right, this interview is over.
Earthy people.
This interview is absolutely over.
All right.
Dottie Waters, and her book here is called Never Underestimate the Selling Power of a Woman, and she taught Tony Robbins everything that he knows.
One. Grow Rich, and we're putting on a big symposium in California next month. If anybody wants to know about paid speaking, could you give my number?
Oh, go ahead, Dottie. Give out your number.
Thank you so much. It's area code 818-335-8069. I'd be glad to talk to them about the subject they're thinking of, and if I can give them any help, I will.
Dottie, you are a woman of true substance to be able to sit through this juvenile and to be honest, absolutely disgusting interview.
We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for dealing with our childish behavior.
Thank you, Don and Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, baby.
That lady, that is the definition of a woman who is unflappable.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you asked her the panties question, she did not bat an eye.
Dottie Waters. See, the reason we really took this interview, because we did that, we are now one step closer to getting Tony Robbins to come on the show.
Dottie will speak to Tony Robbins and say to Tony Robbins, if you go on that program, you are insane.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
We are 106.7 WJFK, the flagship station for the Washington Redskins. And the Redskins are back. Play-by-play with Sonny, Sam, and Frank. Pre- and post-game with Jeff Boss, Terry Orr. Don.
Lots of people want to have babies.
Wonderful.
Also, our wacky story file in the next hour. Oh, the triumphant return today of Phone Ho Theater.
I love that.
And we will be reviewing the movies that we haven't seen yet. It's Thursday, the 1st of August. Birthdays today. Hold on, let me get my sound effect ready. Mr. Dom DeLuise.
There he is.
63.
Zucchini, I promise you this.
Also, Coolio and Tempest Bledsoe with birthdays today.
All right.
On this day in 1876, Colorado was admitted as the 38th state. We only mention this because today's our first day back in Denver.
Yeah, great to be back in Colorado.
On this day in 1936, the Olympics opened in Berlin with a ceremony that Hitler presided over. And, you know, according to Marge Schott, he's doing just a super job. Rating show, he's doing a super job.
Yeah, she said he was good at the beginning, and then he just went nuts. Thanks, Marge.
And on this day in 1981, MTV made its debut. You know, there are a lot of things that happened right around the time that Frida and I got married. We have our 15th wedding anniversary coming up next week.
Wow.
Please hold your cards and letters until next week, ladies and gentlemen. Please.
Come on.
Please. Oh, yes, it is a Herculean effort.
Charles.
To stay together.
Rob, come on in here, Rob. Cannon, get in. Come on. Keep it going, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Keep it going. Buzz, keep it going. Come on now.
Please.
Charles, everybody. Cannon,
please.
Get in here.
Save it until next week. We might not make it till next Wednesday.
I think, and I'd like to make a personal request, that every time this man mentions that is a milestone. We get the big applause
mentions
every
what?
Time.
My anniversary?
There you go.
The 15th anniversary?
All right. Bravo. Cannon lumbering down the hallway now.
Oh, I want to talk to Cannon. Come here, Cannon.
Cannon, get in here.
So when my wife and I got married...
Did you hear it's Don's 15th anniversary coming up?
Two other things happened around the time we got married. First, Charles and Di got married.
Oh, really? That's
and, of
right.
course, they've gone down the toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And MTV debuted. Mm-hmm. And of the two, MTV still going strong.
Right.
Last night, they signed on MTV2... And who was the one guy who would be up at midnight to watch it?
Hi, guys.
Mr. Cannon. Mr. Cannon Grace. Now, everybody knows that Cannon is the gentle giant.
Uh-huh. Yes, Cannon's a wonderful, wonderful lad.
How tall are you now, Cannon?
6'5".
6'5", and your weight?
Unfortunately, it's kind of blossomed up there a little.
Mm-hmm. How much?
Would you be in the threes?
No, thank you. More like 280, hopefully.
280?
About 280.
280.
280 on August 31st in a kilt. Cannon
is the guy who's getting married at the end of the month, and he's going to be wearing a kilt to get married in.
Family's kilt.
It's a big Scottish wedding, right?
Yes. We got the piper from, used to pipe for the Queen, and it'll be a feast. It'll
You salmon used to pipe chicken
for the queen.
Already, yeah. Cannon is jacked about this wedding. He's giving me all the details.
You missed Buzz's joke there.
You know?
You used to pipe for the queen, didn't you?
Ba-da-bing.
Yeah. You bet I pipe for the queen. So, Cannon, you watched the MTV2 last night.
Yeah, on the dish.
And?
Very, very bad showing.
How did they sign on?
I was expecting to be like the first MTV when they came on with the Buggles.
Video killed the radio star?
They brought it midnight. Beck was the first video.
Chuck Beck, Mike.
Chuck Beck.
It's a video of a program director sitting in his office cleaning his gun.
This big handgun from Carolina. Was it Jeff Beck?
No, it was the group Beck.
Yeah,
and right. It wasn't even their big hit Loser. It was just nothing. I mean, it was their
big hit Grossman.
Did they have any VJs?
Not that I saw.
Really?
It was,
well, the whole deal with MTV2 is supposed to be that it's everything MTV used to be, meaning right. That all they're going to do is play videos and not have, what's her name, squirting her body with mustard
Kennedy
and stuff.
Whatever,
and yeah, whoever she is. All right, get out of here.
See you guys.
You big lug. Hey, hold on. Before you leave, come back. Will you recreate that moment at Camden Yards? With the, who was it?
It was actually Mike Mussina.
Mike Mussina. So
who's having a terrible year.
So
and you're happy about that because you have a tale to tell about Mike Mussina.
Cannon is up at Camden Yards up in Baltimore.
With my fiancée, Amanda.
Where the Orioles play.
All 6'5" of them.
And what happened?
280.
Amanda is 6'5" and 280?
No, Cannon's 6'5" and 280.
You're now on the list for chicken now, so at the wedding.
You don't get the prime rib now.
Listen to him.
So, no, we were up at the game.
You are like an overgrown, heavy young man. But that's what you are.
And he's the consumer's friend, too.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about consumer products, you go to Cannon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I mean, fashion, you're
right?
Looking pretty spiffy today.
Thank you, Cannon.
That's right. Cannon's latest place is recommending Eddie Bauer, which
because
is a friend of the big man.
They are. You put on this shirt, and you lose 20 pounds. I mean, look at Rob and I. We both have the Eddie Bauer size.
That's great. You know what troubles me, though, is that how is it that Cannon, who is our intern, has a much nicer watch than either you or I?
May I see that? I noticed that.
Take a look at that
I'm
watch.
I'm amazed you noticed that watch.
How could I miss that watch? It looks like something Sammy Davis Jr. threw up. Look at that thing.
It's not that nice, though. I mean,
let me look at it. It's not that nice.
You at first thought it was a Rolex, but it's not.
I can safely say, Don, that he has a nice watch, but it is not as nice as yours or mine.
Waterproof, shockproof?
As it should be.
As it should be.
All right.
But from a distance, would you agree?
Yeah.
That watch.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's right.
That's nice. All right. So you're at Camden Yards.
At Camden Yards. We're out in the outfield before the game. Some fan, a little kid says, "Hey, Mike Mussina, give me a ball. It's my birthday." And Mike says, "No chance, no luck. Good, see you later." And
was he rude to the kid?
Yeah, he was being really rude, you know. I couldn't stand by, so I said, "Hey, Mike," and he was ignoring the fans.
He was ignoring the fans,
and,
yes.
And we pay for the tickets.
That's
it doesn't
terrible.
Make any sense. So
that's terrible.
We, I yelled out.
Friend.
He was ignoring us, so I yelled out, "Hey, Mike! You know, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice." A lesson that I learned from y'all.
Now, when you yelled that out,
great.
Cannon.
Nobody says that with more sincerity than Cannon Grace. That's great. That is so sincere.
When you yelled it out, how did you sound? I've never heard you yell. I've only heard you speak in this. Low.
Kind of a hushed tone.
How close were you to Mike Mussina? Is it Mussina or Mussina?
He's a jerk. I don't.
Wow!
And you're so testy.
How far away was he?
I would say probably from here to the street.
Really?
So what about 30 yards? Maybe.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
All right. So how loud did you yell out at him?
All right. Yeah. You can go to the back of the studio. All right.
Hey, Mike. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
And then what did Mr. Mike Mussina of the Baltimore Orioles do?
He turned around and started yelling at me. He said, "You know, I was nice to the kid, and none of the fans were with me. They kind of stood."
That's the worst. That's the worst. And that's a major moment there. If the fans are with you, it's okay. But if they turn on you,
and then he says, "I said, you know, throw a baseball. You know, it's not like they cost that much. You know, we supported you when the strike came
now,
around."
When this is going on, are you still yelling at him now? When you're yelling, throw the ball back.
Or like, I was 18 rows back. Having a one-on-one dialogue with Mike Mussina.
But I was probably in the first or second row, and everyone was kind of watching like a soap opera.
Did anybody say anything to you like negatively about your comment heckling Mr. Mussina?
I don't, for some reason he's like a saint up there, but he's a jerk.
Right.
Okay.
But he's the player rep, and he says, I said, you know, do the Orioles have a policy against giving away baseballs? And he says, "I'm not an Oriole, I'm a player." Now, I mean,
is that what he said to you?
Yeah.
Oh, what a jerky thing to say.
Yeah, especially if he's a player rep, so I sent a letter.
I bet you could take him, too. I bet you could take him.
But wait, hold on. Now I remember the best part. You sent a letter, right?
I sent a letter to Angelus.
This is the kind of educated consumer that Cannon Grace is.
He really is. He is the definitive educated consumer.
Sends a letter to the Orioles.
I sent a letter to Angelus, and, you know, explaining the situation. And then I called a
friend. That's how I wrote it. Dear Angelus. No name, no need for Peter. Hello, Angelus.
Angelus.
Angelus. Let me talk to you.
I'm Cannon.
So you sent a letter to the Orioles.
Yeah, no response.
No response.
What did the letter say, basically?
Basically, I cannot stand behind a team that does not stand behind their fans.
Have you been to Camden Yards since?
Never. I won't again. I went to Texas Stadium when I was down in a, and I saw the Albert Bell situation.
Right.
When he begged for a baseball from a fan, and then who wouldn't give it to him? And
right.
Did you set him straight also?
No,
Albert Bell?
I didn't talk to Bell, but...
That's really terrible, and you know, that they haven't responded to you, I think, is an injustice.
But then I called Mr. Beatrice, and I spoke to him in the office.
Really? All right.
And that's when Mr. Beatrice said, the players today, they just don't give an S.
Oh, really?
And,
yeah.
I think that might have damaged the credibility with Angelus.
Right.
So.
All right.
Get out.
Right.
Get out.
Overstayed that welcome.
See you at your wedding.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
You gentle giant.
Yeah, always mention the other radio personalities.
There he is. The consumer's friend.
Herman Munster.
He's great. You know, have you ever asked him about anything that you were planning to purchase?
I ask him about electronics. All the time. Well, you know, his daddy is like J.R. Ewing.
Right.
His daddy is the richest man in the state of Texas. Every time I come in and I say, hey, I got something new for my dish.
He's had it already.
Yeah.
I already got it, Don. I already got it.
Here, Eddie, let's hear your Cannon Grace impression.
Let's hear it. Hi, Charlie Broyhill.
Hi, Don.
Hey. Yeah.
Now let's all do it at the same time, okay?
Hey, how you doing?
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
How you doing, man?
Hey, Angelus. I wrote him a letter. I'm never going to the stadium again. Hey, Don, yeah, I got that. I got that a long time ago, man. Yeah. Picture's not very good on that. You should update, man. What kind of dish do you have, man?
Mike, you should check out Eddie Bauer. They're a friend of the big man. They really are. You put a shirt on, you feel like you lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, 6'5". 6'5", 280.
280, I ballooned.
This is Cannon Grace, everybody.
I'm Cannon Grace, and remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Angelus.
we'll be
right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
5:13, good guy time. Here's Sherry Liquor, good guy. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Fabo.
WJFK.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Bet you can't eat just one.
Hello. Thank you for listening. Excuse me.
That's all right.
In Wichita, Kansas, our radio station is KQAM. San Diego, beautiful San Diego, California. KCBQ, always entertaining. AM 1170 Talk. And thank you for listening in New Bedford, Massachusetts on WNBH. Oh, we've taken lots of phone calls today. We'll do a formal rotating random phone scan here in a couple of seconds. Nuz Nernank will have a look at news. Phone Ho Theater, our wacky story file, and we'll meet another one of the couples in the hump for cash here in a couple of seconds. Matthew Perry says things are okay with everybody on Friends and NBC.
Good.
He says their friends are not on strike.
Good, because I do think that show's got another good season in it.
There have been reports they want $100,000 each per episode. He says there has not been any ultimatum, and he calls the talks very friendly.
Of course it's very friendly, because the show is a hit. It's only not friendly when the show's not a hit. Right.
Although, you know, those two guys on New York Undercover are trying to hold out for more money, and that show's not a hit.
Yeah, and that little holdout is over.
Oh, and so did they lose?
Yeah, they have gone back to work at the same salary.
All right. Yeah. Brooke Shields will be getting support from Judd Nelson. He's going to be in her show, Suddenly Susan, which is going to be right in between Jerry Seinfeld and ER. They could run a test pattern in that half hour and get big ratings.
Man, she's good when she did her little cameo on the show Friends. I thought she was very funny as the psycho soap opera fan.
She has blossomed
into a
real woman, and
she's good to look at.
Yeah, Brooke Shields is one you catch yourself for a second, because you look at her at first, and then you start thinking, oh, God, I'm an awful person. Brooke Shields is like 11 years old.
No, she's not.
But no, she's a... She's a woman.
And Bob Hope was ahead of his time.
I want to tell you.
Let's bring out little Brooke Shields. Isn't she great? Yeah, baby. Come closer, baby. I can't see or hear you.
And you got to know Andre Agassi. He uses her like a toilet.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a commode. Brooke! I'm home!
Oh, no. Andre's back from his tournament.
Hey, look at me. I cut my hair. I'm bald.
Go away. Leave me alone, Andre.
She is funny, though.
I think she is, and I think
or she
show,
has the potential to be mm-hmm. funny.
If it's well written, I think she can pull it off. I like the promos for mm-hmm. it where they give her the George Costanza haircut. I think that's cool.
Some couples, here's a story about Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito, two beautiful people totally in love. Some couples will get on each other's nerves if they spend 24 hours a day together, not Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito. They say that they had a great time acting and directing in the new movie called Matilda. It's a little kids' movie that's out now.
Right.
It was a little scary at first, but once they realized that they were on the same track, everything was fine, and the long lunches and hanging out in the trailer ended up being a rekindling of their romance. Let's all stop for a moment now and think about Danny DeVito having relations with Rhea Perlman.
The horror. The horror.
Danny. Danny, look at your back. Your back is covered with hair.
Come on, Rhea. Rhea, I know I got back hair.
Danny.
Come on. No, I don't want to. Rhea.
Danny.
I don't want to be on top, Rhea.
I don't want to be on top, Danny.
Rhea, forget it, Rhea.
No,
come on.
No,
I like
Danny.
Rhea.
Danny.
Get out of the trailer, Rhea.
I love you, Danny.
I love you too, sweetie. All right, let's go back and make that movie.
The wife of Gene Roddenberry, the ex-wife of the very dead Gene Roddenberry, cannot expect any more profits from the final frontier. Eileen Roddenberry lost her appeal to the California Supreme Court. She wanted money from Star Trek TNG and from Deep Space Nine. Gene Roddenberry, her ex-husband, created the shows. The judges ruled that at the time that they were divorced... God bless her. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
At the time they were divorced, Gene Roddenberry had not even thought of the shows yet.
He had
invented Star Trek.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, after they're divorced, he invents The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. Now she says, well, all right, even though we were divorced, he's still the same guy.
Good.
I want my money. So she got what was coming to her.
Good for her.
Cockroaches are not your friends. They are not cute bugs who sing and dance. They are dirty little bugs who spread disease. This is what the New Jersey Pest Control Association wants you to know. They are upset because that movie Joe's Apartment is giving cockroaches a good name.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
One pest control consultant complains that turning cockroaches into entertaining creatures shows a callous indifference to the diseases that cockroaches carry.
You know, from sitting in the theater when I went to see Nutty Professor and seeing the trailer for Joe's Apartment, trust me, I don't think they have to worry. From the reaction of the crowd that I was sitting in, I don't think they have to be concerned about that.
George Burns, of course, is taking a dirt nap now. You can buy some of his stuff if you are the top bidder at an auction in October.
Crazy.
They're going to be selling his smoking jacket and his slippers, pair of his glasses, and a black Gucci case with the initials GB on front, and Gracie Allen's dinner party book that has the meals she served to celebrities.
Wow.
I want to buy his hardened arteries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to go five bills for that.
I'm sure you get a special price.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful conversation starter? A nice little...
right on the coffee table.
Nice paperweight right there.
There they are.
Here's another story about the movie Joe's Apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Not even certs can help Jerry O'Connell's breath problem. He stars in the movie Joe's Apartment, and in the movie he eats live roaches. He said he volunteered to do the scene instead of using computerized special effects. He actually eats roaches in this movie. He says it took four or five takes before they got the scene right. Now, you would think that they would give him like a candy or something that was made to look like a roach.
Sure.
But they actually used real cockroaches. He says they filmed before lunch.
Were they farm-raised?
Does not say. Corn-fed, I don't know.
Those are the best kind.
Says they filmed before lunch so they could be sure that he wouldn't vomit them back up.
Oh, God.
So, everybody, go to the movies this weekend. That one is out there.
Oh, wow.
His agent thought he was nuts, but Keanu Reeves says he is confident he made the right decision in turning down over $10 million not to be in the movie Speed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves says he didn't want to do another action movie after he made the movie chain reaction. Everybody told him he's committing career suicide. He says that he was nervous for a while. His hands started to peel and his stomach started to churn.
Dude.
And he now, though, feels good about his decision to be a rock star.
And I saw that picture of him in the life section of USA Today when he's Hamlet or whatever, when he's right. doing the Shakespeare, and it just doesn't work.
He looked
work.
Like Bill and Ted, doesn't he?
Yeah, even in Dracula. He was in Dracula, and he played some English guy, and it was just like, yo, dude, Dracula, like, what are you doing, okay?
Did you read the quote next to the picture?
No, what's yeah, it say, Buzz?
It's a great quote.
It's beautiful.
Read
it. Here it is.
This is great.
It would be neat to talk to William Shakespeare, and who else, of course, I don't know. That's the quote from Keanu Reeves.
That's perfect for him. That's what he's all about.
How come you got guys like that who are movie stars who are just not happy to be movie stars? If you wanted to be a rock star, you should have been a rock star.
Right.
Be happy being a movie star. You know who should take that role is Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that she's re-signed because
yes,
I rented the movie last night that she did with the guy that used to chain smoke on MTV.
Right.
You know the guy that used to talk real fast like
Dennis Dennis Leary.
I'm on MTV and I hate everything, man.
Right.
And you're watching this and I hate you for watching MTV.
Right.
He wrote this movie that must have been in the theaters for about 5 minutes, a romantic comedy,
right.
where he's the lead
mm-hmm.
and Sandra Bullock is his girlfriend. Sandra Bullock has the most annoying accent in this movie. She's trying to do a New York accent.
Please.
Hey, hello. Oh. Look at me here. I'm your girlfriend. Oh, God. God, shut up. Just drive the bus.
Do you know, speaking of women in the movies with annoying accents and annoying voices, I think the all-time winner for me, there's something about her voice that does it. It's an actress by the name of Lorraine Bracco. She is in Goodfellas. She plays Ray Liotta's wife in Goodfellas. And she made a movie with Sean Connery called Medicine Man.
I never saw Medicine Man.
The one, you know the one
I've
I'm talking
Goodfellas
about?
Seen Goodfellas a lot of times,
yeah,
though.
She's the wife that points the gun at his head
right.
in that. And she's okay in that because she's got to play. There's a lot of screaming required.
Yeah.
In the movie Medicine Man, I watched this movie, I am not lying, for 3 minutes. And after 3 minutes, they're running around in the jungle, and she's going, oh, no! And about the fourth time she did that, I'm like, oh, that's it. Turn it off. I can't stand it anymore.
And finally, I got one more here about Elvis. Ebbis from Memphis. Oh. Ebbis is busting the buttons. Elvis will be busting the buttons on his Vegas jumpsuits if he watches a special on Cinemax next month. It's called The Burger and the King, The Life and Cuisine of Elvis Presley.
Oh, cool.
And it studies Elvis's eating habits.
Oh, wow.
This is a show that is right up our alley. The hour-long special includes interviews with Elvis's cook at Graceland, a guy that we've had on our show before.
Right.
Elvis's half-brother and members of his Memphis Mafia. You'll hear about the time that Elvis went to a cafe in disguise and was persuaded to take part in an Elvis look-alike contest. The real Elvis came in third place.
Cool.
And let me see. You will also find out Elvis's favorite recipes, such as fried squirrel.
Oh.
As well as recipes for the omelets and hotcakes that Ebbis ate while he was in the Army.
Yeah, man.
The famous fried peanut butter sandwich, a peanut butter and nana sandwiches there, as well as something called Diet Shasta Gel, that he ate during the Love Me Slender years.
Oh, wow.
For those without the patience to read the book, Cinemax has this on cable TV. The Burger and the King, The Life and Cuisine of Elvis Aaron Presley, everybody.
We could have hosted that show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hey.
I bet they go through the whole show and they don't tell you at the time of his death how much Elvis has impacted Chucky colon Wade.
Wouldn't it be great if they ended it like that? Finally, here's a little tidbit and here's a picture of the colon. All right. Good night, everybody.
Answer, everybody. 40 pounds. 40 pounds, just in case you asked it at a cocktail party over the week. It's a great icebreaker.
That's right. I was impacted and chalky.
We'll be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
531, here's Sherry Gribbley. Hi, Mrs. G.
Hi, Don and Mike.
The station with less BS.
Hello.
WJFK.
The show with that hands-on hips, shake your head, mo money, mo deef, mo life attitude. The Don and Mike Show.
Like we don't have enough going on today. Here's the Toe Tap and Touch Tones. We'll take caller 100 right now, give you a chance to jump in our ice tub next week. Don't even ask me to explain this now. Just call. Call 100.
Call and jump in the ice tub, you win something.
1-800-636-1067. Call number 100. Good luck. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, at least 11 entries that I see in front of us.
That means that anybody planning on doing it should get cracking.
Yeah. The hump for cash, so to speak, get cracking. Let's not even go there.
Let's not go there. Don't go there.
I hate it when people say that.
I do, too.
Me, two. Me, three.
Don't
me
go four, there.
Me, five. Me, six. So we, me, Don, you, Mike, and we will get to these faxes in a couple of seconds in the hump for cash. Also, the Phone Ho Theater. In the next hour, we'll be reviewing the movies that we haven't seen yet. As always, your telephone calls, Nuz Nurnank with news. But first, from our wacky story file.
Yes.
Going a long way with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way across the sea. We're going to be calling South Africa.
Hey, South Africa.
For several months, quote now, is a spokeswoman for the Penelome Hospital in South Africa. Quote, for several months, our nurses have been baffled to come in every morning and find a dead patient in the same bed every Friday morning, once a week. For several months, our nurses have been baffled to find...
Several months?
Yes. Wow. Our nurses have been baffled to find a dead patient in the same bed every Friday morning. There was no apparent cause for any of the deaths, and extensive checks on the air conditioning system and a search for possible bacterial infections failed to reveal any clues. However, further inquiries have now revealed the cause of these deaths. It seems that every Friday morning, a cleaner would enter the ward, remove the plug that powered the patient's life support system to plug the floor polisher into the vacant socket. Then you see why this caught our eye.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
She would unplug the life support, plug in the floor polisher.
Sure.
Polish the floor, just enough time for the patient to go belly up.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Then plug it back in.
Work's all done. Patient's dead.
Yeah. When she had finished her chores, she would plug the life support machine back in and leave, unaware that the patient was now dead.
Wow.
She could not, after all, she could not hear the screams and the eventual death rattle over the whirring of her polisher.
Oh, man.
We are sorry.
Wow.
Says the hospital.
Sure.
And we have sent a strong letter to the cleaner in question.
Good a strong letter, good boy. That's taking care of business.
Further, the hospital is arranging for an electrician to fit an extra socket, so there should be no repetition of this incident.
Yeah, no reason to keep those sockets secure. Just put another one in there that maybe can be confused.
The inquiry is now closed. Not closed for my money.
Yeah. No way.
Let's call the hospital.
Yep. There's got to be some recourse. I'd love to get a total of patients that expired during this cleaning person's watch.
I'd like to check Ken into that hotel. Ken Stevens checks in, but he doesn't check out.
That's right. First, we'd have to make him go on life support.
However, I'd like to hear the screams. I'd like to hear the sounds of Ken dying. I wouldn't want to hear the floor polisher whirring.
Mm-hmm.
Whirring.
He wouldn't, he doesn't get excited about anything, so he wouldn't get excited about dying either.
Hospital?
Yes, hello. Is this Penelome Hospital?
Yes.
In South Africa?
Yes, sir.
Hello, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our live radio show now, live in America, the greatest nation in the free world. How are you today?
I'm fine, sir.
How are
you?
How are things going at the hospital?
No, the things are okay.
We're calling to find
out. Our time now is 25 to 12.
Right. We are calling to find out if you guys have fired the cleaning woman who has been killing people by unplugging their life support systems so she can plug in her floor polisher. Have you heard about this? Every Friday for the last few months, somebody's been found dead.
Yeah, we'd like to know how many patients were killed by this woman.
And I think Infinity Broadcasting wants to hire her.
Hold on, please.
Heading up by one of our sales operations. It's the skill they look for. That's right.
Oh, now who are we being put through to now? It's got a South African ring to it, though, doesn't it?
Ndoli
speaking.
May I please help you?
Ah, yes. Hi. This is Don and Mike. We're calling from America right now, doing a radio show. We're wondering, is this the hospital where the people have been found?
Who's speaking?
This is Don and Mike. We're doing our radio show right now.
Is this the hospital where somebody's been found dead every Friday morning because the cleaning lady unplugs the life support?
I don't know, really. I'm hearing that for the first time.
You've never heard of that before?
We have a news story here that indicates that people were killed because the cleaning person...
I think you can get that from the superintendent. I'm sorry. I don't know about it.
Can you put me through to the superintendent?
It's at night now, really. I cannot. Can't you try in the morning?
Well, we really can't because we're on the air now. Would there be anyone else there that could speak about this?
I can put it through to casualty.
Casualty. All right, put us through to casualties.
Casualty.
Casualties.
Thank you.
That sounds like maybe ER, like maybe that's where it happened.
Welcome to casualties. Dr. Lucifer here. May I help you? What do you want? I'm cleaning the floor.
Yeah, you're the one. Lucifer was the one cleaning. God. Can you believe that?
Dum 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 dum.
Help me!
Dum 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 dum.
Help me!
I don't hear anything.
Jesus! Wow! And for several months,
hello?
Did we get hung up on?
Put me through to casualties, please.
Unplugged.
Hello. Yeah, or unplugged.
Okay, let's say several months is
3 months.
3 months. Three
even
months.
Hold on. Even
that could
if
be like a dozen.
Would like to make a call? Please hang up.
I have to call back. Even if it's 2 months, even
we got eight people dead.
Yeah.
It's Friday. It's another stiff. I can't believe it. Where's the cleaning lady?
Imagine that.
That's right.
We are sorry and we've sent a strong letter to the cleaner in question.
What do you say to the families, man? I'm sorry, your loved one is dead, but look at that shine.
Yeah, the floor is great. It's a floor wax, you cow.
It's a life support system. Hey, you two. New shimmers, a floor wax, and a life support system.
You make me laugh. All right, calling back now. Calling South Africa.
The patient's gone, but I can see myself in that floor. God.
Sure, he's dead, but look, we can eat off this floor. God, that's beautiful shine. All right, so Mr. Mortley's dead.
Hospital Pelinami.
Hey, how you doing? It's us again. The guy's doing the radio show. Who is the department? Can you put us through to casualties, please?
Casualties. Hold on, please.
The patient looks a little green, but there's no yellowing on that floor. Oh, man.
Don't trip over that cord. I just cleaned this floor.
Don't plug that life support back in. You get footprints. Man, oh, man.
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Hello.
Hello.
We're doing a national radio show from America right now. We're trying to find out, is this the hospital where the cleaning lady has unplugged the life support systems so she can plug in the floor cleaner and has killed a bunch of people?
Hello, I can't understand you. Can I please repeat?
Hello.
Hello.
Is this the hospital where the lady unplugged the life support so she can plug in the floor cleaner?
Who's speaking?
This is Don and Mike. We need to speak with casualty.
Casualty officer.
What?
Casualty officer, do you want to speak to the doctor or what?
Yes, a doctor.
This is casualty.
Put me through to the doctor.
Hello? We want to speak to the doctor.
To the doctor.
Yes. Doctor Love.
Just say
Doctor Detroit.
Hello?
Dr. Welby.
Just say
Dr. Kildare.
Dr. King.
Dr. Demento.
Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. J.
Who's Dr. J?
Dr. J, the basketball player.
Oh, all right. Okay. Oh, man, I don't know what I was thinking. Doctor. Oh, now I'm going to lose. I'm not going to have a doctor. Doctor.
Come on, give me the crown.
Dr. Nick.
Dr. You're Nick, my Dr. You Nick. That's an insult to my daughter, to my doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Feelgood.
Oh. Dr. Johnny Fever.
Where's the doctor? Is there a doctor in the house?
Doctor.
Hello. Just someone so that I can put you through, eh?
What was that?
Don't drop the phone.
Listen. You listen to me. Stop killing people.
Who's speaking?
Stop killing people.
That was all she needed to hear.
What did she say?
She said, really? And then she hung up.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
You're kidding. I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are.
Wow, now that's a response.
Ouch.
All right.
What? Hello?
Hello?
It's very simple. You talk, we talk.
Hi, who is this?
Tamara.
And where are you from?
Fredericksburg.
You're caller 100, my dear. And you win a chance to jump in our big ice tub next Tuesday and win a free cruise to the Bahamas.
Absolutely wonderful. What should I wear?
Well, something provocative, I hope.
Most definitely.
Who would be the celebrity you most resemble?
Hot Lips Houlihan.
The original movie Hot Lips or Loretta Swift?
Loretta Swift.
Wear a one piece. We will we'll see you next.
I'm a thinner one. Thinner.
We will see you next Tuesday.
Why? And, thank you very, very much.
And I got a prize for you too: a case of Coca-Cola Classic, just for calling. Thanks. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks.
Hold on. Oh, you're very welcome. Hold the line. We'll be right back, man. After this, 48. Go to the news cubicle in a moment. Now here is Sherry Licker. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Don and Mike. Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
It's the way Mike O'Mara fills time between golf outings. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now listen to our luck on this.
All right,
we got to go to the news cubicle now to get the update there with Nuss Nernan. But in our next hour, we have secured the number of the cleaning company in South Africa that's killed the people.
That's incredible. This is a story. If it was in the United States, this would be front page news.
Sure. See if you can take a step or two ahead, folks, to guess who will be on the end of the phone when we call the cleaning company next hour.
Somebody very irresponsible, I'll tell you that.
No doubt. Okay. Somebody wearing overalls, probably. Also, we'll get to our Hump for Cash couples. Oh, and Photo Theater the next hour. Now at 11 until 6 on the East and 11 until 3 out west. In between, as always, please check your watches. Here's Nuz. Hi, Nuz, with a story about a two-headed baby. Hi, Buzz.
No.
Not today?
No, not today. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. Yeah, the last time the president testified for people accused of whitewater crimes, they were convicted. This time, the outcome was a little different. After saying at first it couldn't reach a verdict, a jury in Little Rock, Arkansas, has now acquitted the latest two defendants. Two bankers, accused of misusing bank funds to help Bill Clinton's political career, have been found not guilty. And because the jury still couldn't reach a verdict for each of the other counts, the judge has declared a mistrial on those charges. The head of the FBI says our increasing problem with terrorism is a reason to let his agency wiretap more telephones. FBI Chief Louis Freeh was testifying for some senators today and saying that more wiretaps would not cut into our individual freedoms. In a rather strange alliance, many Republicans and civil libertarians are against allowing this new authority. Today, bad weather is again the reason for a lack of progress in the recovery of bodies and wreckage from TWA Flight 800. 184 of the 230 bodies have been recovered, and as has a lot of the airplane debris. But despite intensive tests, investigators say they still have no evidence to support any of the theories about the cause of the crash. No evidence of a bomb, no evidence of a missile, no evidence of mechanical or structural failure. And the FBI is still going over Richard Jewell's belongings in their probe of the Olympic Park bombing. But today they gave back his truck. It was the pickup truck they'd towed away yesterday during their search of his Atlanta apartment. Some of Jewell's belongings are still being tested in Washington, but the FBI says the tests will take some time. The Bureau says Jewell is still a prime suspect. It also says, however, that we should not jump to any conclusions. And, by the way, that there's no evidence of foreign terrorism. The stock market shot upward again today. The Dow gained nearly 66 points. Winners outnumbered losers by a 4-1 margin. The S&P rose 10 points. NASDAQ climbed 18. Curious about the latest bizarre social trends? Look no further than the Buzz File, which follows the sports. Next, via satellite from Westwood One Entertainment, you're listening to the Don and Mike Show. In sports, it's been a day of ups and downs for American track star Carl Lewis. Lewis announced today that he was ending his campaign for a spot on the U.S. 400-meter relay team. But the long jump champ also said he'd take any position that was offered. The temptation was hard to resist for a chance to become the first Olympian to win 10 gold medals in a career. Now, Leon Burrell has pulled out of the 400-meter relay team with acute Achilles tendonitis, which makes room for Lewis to set that 10 gold medal record. The coaches say they'll do what's best for the team and the country. The U.S. women's soccer team goes for the gold today, and their semifinal action in men's basketball tonight as the U.S. faces Australia. Also, the United States baseball team takes on Japan in semifinal action this evening. Three runs in the fifth inning gave the Baltimore Orioles a 4-2 win today and a three-game sweep of the Twins in Minnesota.
Running back Terrell Davis has agreed to a 5-year deal with Denver worth $6.8 million. Davis gained over 1,100 yards and scored 8 touchdowns in his rookie season last year.
The other guy's name was Leroy, and that guy's name's Terrell.
Terrell?
Terrell.
Terrell.
The other guy's Leroy.
Okay. It's been 5 years since Sugar Ray Leonard.
But who's counting?
Yeah. It's been 5 years since Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard?
I'm kidding, Buzz.
Since Sugar Ray Leonard stepped out of the ring for what was supposed to have been his last fight, today at the age of 40, the fighter says he's considering a comeback in December against Hector Camacho. This would be his third comeback.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Jeff Gordon's won the poll for Saturday's Brickyard 400. Finally, great thing about this job is that people never stop doing odd things. Here's a rundown of some of the latest. As of this week, the Harley-Davidson Motorcycle Company now has its own address on the Internet, and it's managed to do this without losing its in-your-face attitude. Log on, and you'll be greeted with the words, "Welcome to the Harley-Davidson Worldwide website. Now go away." Can a Hell's Angels news group be far behind? The people who make wedding cakes in Bloomington, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, say they've been swamped with strange requests lately from couples-to-be. Speaking of bikers, one couple wanted two miniature Harleys on top of their cake. Another wanted two of those little troll dolls with the hair dyed to match the bridesmaids' outfits. One couple wanted leaves and other greenery because they'd both just gotten degrees in forestry. And still another couple wanted penguins on their cake.
Mm-hmm.
By that point, the bakery says it just stopped asking why. And there's a new kind of bowling alley in Lubbock, Texas, and these are popping up around the country. This bowling alley has a mirrored ball hanging from the ceiling, and there's a fog machine and black lights to make the bowling pins glow in the dark. The special effects go into effect on the weekends in the hope of attracting a new generation of bowlers. Quoting the manager of this one, "It's not the game your father used to play." Not unless your dad dropped acid. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.